Weekly Spooky is brought to you by our generous supporters on Patreon. Get access to exclusive podcasts, videos, and more for as little as $1 a month when you go to weeklyspooky.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support has gotten us to 100 episodes, so join up today and help us create another 100 and beyond. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and join the Patreon.
There's a chill in the air. Must be fall. Join me for a tale of Halloween. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. And we're getting ankle deep into October spooky season, the Halloween season. And of course, this is a season that means a lot to me because, well, I started a podcast called Weekly Spooky, so I suppose that makes a lot of sense. If you love the spooky as much as me, make sure you head to your favorite podcast app or wherever you're listening to this and give us a like or a review, and make sure you're subscribed because we have a lot more thrills, chills, and maybe even a couple of spills this Halloween season for you. So I don't want you to miss out on it. And remember, Halloween Day, we'll have a special episode of Weekly Spooky, a bonus, a terrifying bonus to celebrate us going into our third year. Oh my, oh me. Also, I want to give you guys a little tease. We're trying something a little new here at Weekly Spooky. Next week, we'll be releasing a short film that is presented by Weekly Spooky, a terrifying piece directed by yours truly that I think you'll really enjoy. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. Or better yet, go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. Become a backer today, like many have this month. And I gotta say, I really, really appreciate it. We've had more people come to my Patreon from this podcast this month than ever before. But if you're a member of that Patreon, you're going to see the short film days upon days earlier than the general public, the unwashed masses, if you will. And I will. But anyway, my friends, with all that out of the way, we have a really creepy, scary, fun Halloween story for you tonight. Because one of my favorite things about Halloween is the idea that the layer between the living and the dead is permeable. And some can cross that barrier. And this story exemplifies just what might happen on a night like that. So let's listen now.
The Halloween Party by Keith Tomlin.
A rock skittered across the cracked pavement of the road as a black engineer boot playfully kicked at it. Clyde, a young man dressed in blue jeans, white t-shirt, and a leather jacket, stopped to survey his surroundings. There were empty warehouses and factories on all sides, most falling apart, victims of a failing economy. The blight stretched as far as he could see, and, from what he could tell, he seemed to be the only person within miles. He paused next to a rusty rim with a flat tire and lit an unfiltered cigarette. He took a deep drag, closing his eyes, enjoying the pleasure of the harsh, burning smoke in his lungs for a few moments. He then opened his eyes and, once again, surveyed the empty expanse around him.
"Okay, stop fucking around. Where are you?" he yelled.
Not hearing a response, he tilted his head back and drank from a large bottle of whiskey. He stopped long enough to catch his breath and then guzzled more of the bitter liquor. He wiped his mouth on his sleeve and yelled again.
"Come on, I'm bored. Where are you guys? I don't want to miss the party."
"Fine, fuck it," Clyde yelled,
giggling. Downing the last of the liquid, he turned and threw the bottle over a tall, rusty chain-link fence. He smiled in satisfaction when he heard the bottle break. Running his hands along his hair, which was greased back into a ducktail, he started to walk on down the deserted road. Suddenly, the evening was split by a soul-shattering scream. The sound echoed off of the empty buildings and seemed to come from everywhere. The young man stopped, his head whipping back and forth as he tried to pinpoint the source of the scream. He finally zoned in on a row of old brick factories. Flipping the cigarette to the ground, he took off running and grinning like a madman. Amber slowly guided her eyeliner pencil across her cheek. Leaning back, she looked at the results in the mirror. Perfect, she thought, pleased with the cat whiskers she drew. She stood up and looked at the whole costume in the mirror. The cat suit accentuated her slim figure and provided a decent amount of cleavage without showing too much. She spent 3 weeks designing and creating the costume and was very proud of the effort. Plus, she could submit it as a final project in the fashion design class she was taking. Loud laughter and crude jokes from her sorority sisters Madison and Sarah intruded on the moment. It almost made Amber wish that she'd not agreed to drive them to the party at a friend's cabin on Belleville Lake. Both of them had started drinking hours earlier, and they were pretty wasted by then. Having lived with an alcoholic father, Amber rarely drank and was the resident designated driver. Amber sighed and began the process of herding the two drunks out the door. 30 minutes later, Amber turned onto a dark, deserted country road near the lake. After a few minutes, red and blue lights appeared behind her. God damn it, Amber said, turning down the radio. Her two friends looked at each other and burst into laughter.
Oh no, Amber's getting a ticket, Sarah teased.
Maybe the cop will be cute. Ask if you can touch his gun, Madison said, causing Sarah to burst into laughter. Will you two stop it? Amber said, annoyed. She hated dealing with drunks. She pulled over and shut the car off. Rolling her window down, she tried to get a look at the car that pulled in behind her, but a bright spotlight lit up from the car, almost blinding her. Amber had a bad feeling about this. She ignored the snickering comments from her friends as she tried to watch behind her in the side mirror. After a few seconds, she saw a shadow pass in front of the spotlight as a large man walked up alongside the car. Being backlit, it was hard to see any details, but it looked like he was wearing a uniform. Something in the way he moved seemed off. When the man reached the driver's side window, he stopped for a few seconds and then leaned down and looked into the car. Amber stared into his face, shocked at seeing him wearing a respirator. She started to speak, to ask why he stopped them, but everything froze when she looked into his eyes. Wild, crazy eyes, eyes that seemed to scream out for violence and blood.
Are you good girls or bad girls? He said in a whispery voice, muted by the mask he was wearing.
Amber jolted into motion and tried to start the car as the man brought his hand up and sprayed a mist from a small tank into the car. Amber faded into darkness, hearing the screams of her friends. Amber jerked awake to sounds of screaming. Groggily, she looked down and saw that her hands and legs were tied to an old office chair. The chair was on some kind of loading dock in an old, dirty warehouse or factory. She turned towards the screaming and realized that they were coming from a naked young woman lying on the floor. She was staked out in the middle of a crudely painted pentagram with candles at each point, with her arms and legs stretched out to her sides. The woman was covered in blood, and, between cries of pain, she was pleading with a large man standing over her to let her go. The man answered with swipes of a large, bloody knife. Amber tried to yell, but she found that she had been gagged with a dirty rag held there by a cloth tied around her head. Even though her cries were muffled, the man responded by turning toward her. His eyes seemed to shine, lit by the light of insanity. These were the same eyes she saw on the man who had pulled them over. He grinned and held the bloody blade up to his mouth as if to shush her. Amber was able to get a better look at the woman on the floor and realized it was Sarah. Amber strained against her restraints, trying to yell for help, desperate to do anything to save her friend. The man grinned even more and turned back to Sarah, using the knife with more enthusiasm, pleased that he now had an audience. Amber sobbed, choking on the gag, trying to find a way to break free. The killer plunged his knife deep into Sarah, her screams fading into a low gurgle. He reached into her abdomen and cut out a bloody piece of flesh. He turned toward Amber and waved it in the air, mocking her. He flipped it at her, and she had to jerk her head to the side to avoid being hit by the small piece of her friend. The killer laughed and then began to make a game out of cutting pieces of her friend, who now lay silent and unmoving, and tossing them at her. After a few minutes, he seemed to grow bored with this game and raised the knife high in the air. He mumbled words in a language that Amber didn't recognize and plunged the knife deep into Sarah's chest. With effort, he ripped the knife down, breaking ribs and cutting flesh. He reached into the large, gaping wound and ripped something out, holding it up high as if offering it to the heavens. Amber felt bile rise up as she realized it was her friend's heart. She closed her eyes and turned away from the horror. A few seconds later, she heard footsteps scraping on the concrete and felt the killer's rancid breath on her face. She closed her eyes even tighter as he spoke. "Hey, pretty girl, little Miss Kitty Cat, look at your savior." Amber turned her head away from the voice. A hand with an iron grip seized her jaw and forced her head up, a cold, sharp object placed against her throat. "I said, look at me," the killer stated in a cold, hard voice. Amber opened her eyes and whimpered as she looked into the face of evil. "You look like a good girl. I think Master will be pleased with you. He wasn't pleased with the other sacrifices," the killer said, pointing toward Sarah, then gestured to a dark corner. Amber looked and could make out an outline of a body, barely recognizable as human. Amber knew without a doubt that the bloody mess was what was left of Madison. She tried not to sob as she looked intently at her face. "Yes. I'm sorry you slept through that one. How inconsiderate of me. Anyways, you didn't miss much. The master didn't respond to her flesh. She must have been unclean. You, on the other hand." The killer used the knife blade to play with the buttons on her costume. "You look like a good girl, and the Dark Lord likes good girls," he said, grinning. Amber trembled with fear, tears and snot running down her face. She tried to talk past her gag, begging him to let her go, to let her live. The killer stepped back, looking pleased.
Let's get you ready to meet the master, he said as he wiped the blood off of the blade and inserted it into a sheath on his belt.
He stretched, seeming to enjoy the discomfort and fear he was provoking in her. As he started to lean forward, a young man suddenly leapt out of the darkness, swinging a large pipe. The pipe hit the killer on the side of his head and sent him sprawling across the room, landing near the unmoving body of Sarah.
Damn! Home run! Clyde yelled, flipping the pipe like it was a baseball bat and raising his arms in the air, waving to an imaginary crowd.
Amber stared at him in astonishment. Clyde lowered his arms and looked around.
Wow, man. What the hell happened here? Looks like a slaughter, like one of those slasher movies I keep hearing about, he said, pointing at Madison's body in the corner.
Amber snapped out of her trance and struggled against the gag, trying to plead with him to let her go. He turned to point at the killer.
Two bodies and a large-ass fuck slicing everyone up. This is a slasher movie, he said, excitedly.
He reached into his jacket and pulled out a flask and began to drink from it.
I keep hearing about these movies at work. Sounds like a blast, baby, he stated, taking another long pull on the flask.
Wiping his mouth, he looked at Amber.
Damn, doll, you look like shit, he said, walking over to her.
Amber started to sob again, straining against the gag.
So, you must be the final girl. All of these movies have one.
He suddenly smiled.
That must make me the dutiful boyfriend that sacrifices himself to save you. God, and I thought this would be a boring night, he said excitedly.
Amber tried yelling even harder, begging him to let her go.
Drink?
He said, offering her the flask. Seeing Amber struggle against her restraints, he smacked himself in the forehead.
Sorry, little missy. Let me help,
he said apologetically as he reached down and took the gag out of her mouth. Amber took a few deep breaths.
Please, please, oh God, you've got to help me. Untie me and call the police. This crazy man kidnapped us and killed...
She broke into sobs as she looked over at Sarah.
Hey now, babyface, dry those tears. As the dutiful boyfriend, I have to help you. That's how these movies work, he said.
Now, let me cut you loose. He gestured to his right hand and a switchblade popped open in it. He gently reached down and cut the ropes tying her to the chair.
There we go, sweets, he said, pulling the ropes loose.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Amber sobbed. Do you have a phone? We need to call the police.
Sorry, babe, ain't got no phone, he said.
We need to get out of here. We need to get help, she said.
Her legs were numb from lack of circulation, and she stumbled as she tried to stand. As he steadied her, she could smell the overpowering stench of alcohol.
We got a long walk then, 'cause I ain't got no car either. I was with some coworkers on the way to a Halloween shindig when I suddenly found myself here in the middle of fucking nowhere. There ain't no one around for miles except us and him, he said, pointing to the killer.
Amber looked to the killer and was shocked to see him beginning to stir. She could now hear a low moan coming from him as the maniac began rubbing the side of his face.
Oh God, you have to finish him! He's getting up! She gasped.
Well, it's not time for that yet. What kind of movie would that be? This is where we beat feet and try to hide from the vicious killer, the young man said as he turned away from her.
God, I always wanted to be in a horror movie.
Giggling, the young man walked through a door leading deeper into the factory. Amber looked at the doorway and then back at the killer, who was trying to pull himself up to his knees. She limped through the door. It took Amber a second to see Clyde moving silently through the rows of rusty machinery. She moved as quickly and quietly as her aching legs would allow. When she caught up to him, he turned and looked at her with a sly smile.
I hope he's a good killer. I'd hate for this night to be a bust, he said.
Amber stared at him for a second before saying, "You're crazy."
"I'm not crazy. I'm Clyde," he whispered, giggling again.
Clyde turned and glided into the darkness. Amber hesitated but began to move once she heard a metallic scrape somewhere behind her. Amber stumbled and groped her way through the darkened factory, following Clyde. The killer could be heard yelling, his voice echoing off the factory walls. After long, tense minutes, everything grew quiet. Suddenly, a beam of light sprung out of the darkness, illuminating the row of machinery ahead of her. She stifled a scream as the light moved back and forth, seeking them out. A booming voice yelled from the darkness behind the flashlight.
"Here, kitty, kitty. Come out, kitty. And your little boyfriend, too."
Clyde reached out and patted Amber's hand. "I think it's time for the big scene. You wait here and I'll go out and see if we can't speed things up. I have to be back by dawn," Clyde whispered. He picked up a large, rusty wrench off the bench next to them and banged it on the cement floor. The flashlight whipped around and locked on to the crouching figures of Clyde and Amber. Clyde stood and, shaking his fist at the killer, roared, "If you want her, Daddy-O, you have to go through me first." The killer, unseen behind the bright light, laughed and said,
"That's it, little man. Come to me."
Clyde ran at the killer. Amber heard sounds of a struggle, and the beam of the flashlight swung back and forth as they fought, but it was difficult for her to tell what was going on. Finally, the struggle ended. A figure stumbled back and fell on the ground in front of Amber. The flashlight swung around to spotlight Clyde, lying on his back, holding his hands to his throat, blood pouring out from between his fingers. Clyde tried to speak, reaching out to her, but all that came out of his mouth was an eruption of blood. His outstretched hand fell to the ground as he stopped struggling and laid there, limp and unmoving. The light snapped to Amber's face, blinding her. She tried jumping to her feet to run away, but her legs gave out from under her. She fell forward, striking her head on the edge of a bench, landing on the floor, dazed. She felt the breath leave her as the killer brought his large boot down upon her neck.
"I have so much to show you, my little kitty cat," he whispered.
Once again, Amber's world went dark. As Amber came to, she felt a coldness under her bare skin. She tried to roll over only to find that she was tied down, spread eagle. She blinked the dizziness from her eyes and squinted at her body. Each wrist and ankle was tied to a steel rod hammered into the concrete. As the fog continued to lift from her consciousness, she saw something move above her and, after a moment of effort, her eyes focused on a face. The face of the killer.
"There you are, my little one," he cooed, grinning. "You gave me a scare. I thought you may not wake up to accept the Dark One's blessing," he said, his wicked blade catching the light from the candles that were placed around her.
Amber began to weep, begging for her life.
"Shh, I'll have none of that. This is a joyous time. If you start blubbering, I'll begin by carving out your tongue," the killer whispered to her.
Amber struggled to control herself, but she could not stop her sobbing.
"Maybe I should begin here,"
the killer purred as he ran the knife down her bare belly toward her privates.
"After all, that is what turns little angels into lying whores,"
he said, yelling the last few words. He plunged the knife several inches deep inside her. Amber screamed as she felt blood flowing from between her legs. The killer pulled the knife out of her and slowly ran his tongue along the flat of the blade, savoring the taste of her blood.
Oh, yes. The Dark Lord will shower me with rewards for bringing him a soul like yours.
He leaned down and licked the tears from Amber's face as sobs wrecked her body. Laughter exploded from behind them. The killer whipped his head around and gawked at what he saw. Amber, with considerable effort, raised her head and stared, unbelieving, at Clyde, sitting calmly on the loading dock in the chair that Amber had been tied to earlier. Clyde's white t-shirt was covered in drying blood, but he seemed unhurt. He flicked his thumb across a match head, causing it to burst into flame. He brought the match up to a cigarette in his mouth, lighting it. "Damn, you have no idea how much I miss these," he said, taking a deep drag. "You'd think with all the smoke and fire where I work, they would allow these, but..." "Nope," Clyde continued wistfully. "Hell can be a weird place sometimes." The killer rose to his feet. He waved his knife in the air before saying, "You stay back. She is my sacrifice to the Dark One, and you cannot have her." Clyde laughed again, dark and ominous. "You think this," he said, spreading his hands toward the carnage around them, "will get you the attention of the Dark Lord? You have no idea what it takes. I committed countless atrocities, gave him the souls of hundreds of men, women, and children. I ripped babies from the wombs of their mothers and burned nuns alive, screaming for their god to save them, and yet, I barely registered on the radar of his lowest lieutenant." Clyde was now standing, screaming at the killer. "I devoted my whole life to killing for his glory, and he doesn't even know my name. You think killing a couple of skirts will bring down his blessing? You're a fool," he said, with contempt. The killer, shaking with rage, roared, "The Dark One promised me glory, eternal life. You will not take that away from me." The killer lunged forward and buried his knife up to the hilt in Clyde's chest. The killer stopped dead, his mouth agape as Clyde, almost nonchalantly, grabbed him by the neck and lifted him off the ground. Clyde looked up at the killer and grinned. "So, he promised you eternal life. Well, let's test that out." Clyde's hand shot out and plunged into the killer's chest. When he withdrew his hand, he was holding the killer's still beating heart. He left both the killer's body and heart to drop to the ground. Sighing, Clyde took a seat at the edge of the loading dock. He reached over and picked up his cigarette from the floor, where he dropped it during the confrontation. He ran his hand, still slick with the killer's blood, through his hair and sighed again. Taking a drag from his smoke, he said, "Man, this isn't how I pictured this night going. Hell is a bitch of a place to work. A handful of us get one night off a year. On Halloween. For the first time since I've been there, almost 70 years, I was picked. We had a great night planned. We were going to terrorize a small remote village, burn their crops and livestock, possess a few people, and end the night in a bloodbath." He flicked ashes on the killer's forehead. "Somehow, I ended up here. I think it was because of this fuckwad's ritual or whatever he was doing. Maybe I was sent by the big guy to teach him a lesson. Hell," he laughed, "maybe the Dark Lord did have big plans for him and I fucked it up. Oh well, either way, I'll find out in the morning." Clyde took a final drag off of his cigarette and flicked it off into the darkness. "Well, little missy," he said as he looked over at Amber, "I don't have to leave until dawn, so let's have ourselves a little Halloween party." He pulled the knife from his chest and tested the edge with his thumb. Grinning, he jumped to his feet and walked toward Amber. For the last time, Amber began to scream.
Halloween is all about having a good time. Of course, not everybody has the same definition of a good time, and, we learned what he's all about. So thank you guys for hanging out with me and listening to another terrifying tale to get you in that
spooky season mood that I know you've been waiting for all year, just like me. Of course, I am incredibly impatient and I don't wait around for spooky season. I do something scary every single week right here on the show, and I hope you'll join me for a good long time. Remember to head to weeklyspooky.com and find out how you can send us a tip. Hey, that helps us keep the show going. You can buy some awesome merchandise. There are Weekly Spooky hoodies ready to keep you warm in the cold and terrifying winter coming right up. We also have a Patreon you can find at weeklyspooky.com, which allows you to become a part of the team helping us make the show every single week for as little as $1 a month, and you get all kinds of little bonuses and extra bits, or maybe even your name shouted out on the show. And speak of the devil, I want to give a big thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, Rob Fields, and Kevin Fry. Thank you all for helping us keep the show going. And thank you again to our brand new Patreon backers. You guys have no idea how much it means to me to have your support because, well, I must love it. We've done it, what, 104 times now, and I couldn't be happier. And we have a lot more big scares coming right up. So, and remember, next week, brand new horror short film directed by yours truly and brought to you by Weekly Spooky. I hope you enjoy it. I want to tell you more, but I'm going to hold it to myself. But if you join the Patreon, you'll find out all about it. Ha! See how that works. All right, my friends, I got to get out of here, but I hope you'll all join me next week. And remember to subscribe and leave a 4 or 5 star rating, whatever you think is appropriate on your favorite podcast app. It really helps us a lot. So for myself, for my producer, Dan Wilder, and for my composer, Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.